So this reading is from Acts 17, verses 1 to 14. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined to Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea.
The reading can be found on page 1186 and is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's a thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. Paul, Silas, Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, and he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model in all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out for you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Lord, we stand before you now, Lord, declaring your great name, praising your name for who you are and what you've done. We thank you, you've put us as part of your church, your people. And we just honour you now, Lord. And we ask that as we listen to your words explained by Andrew, that you, by your Spirit, would help us to understand what you want of us, how we can be channels of your power, channels of your love, channels of your hope, channels of your of all that you offer. Lord, speak into our hearts now, speak into our minds, and help us to put into practice what you say to us now. And Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit upon Andrew, that he may be able to help us to understand your will, your desire for us at this time. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. When I was about 13, I remember having a piece of RE homework, and it was drawing a map of the Eastern Mediterranean and marking on it Paul's three missionary journeys. For your information, this is part of his second missionary journey. If we go back a few verses into chapter 16 of the Luke's account in Acts, Paul has a vision one night, and he sees a man from Macedonia begging him to come across, which is what they did. Thessalonica was and still is an important city. It was on the road from Rome into what they called Asia, which is really sort of Turkey. And was very much a logical place for Paul to visit. It was also a good spot because it meant that any message given there was going to travel west, which was what really was Paul was all about. And as usual, Paul goes into the synagogue to preach the gospel. But just after 3 weeks, he's run out of town. He moves a short distance along to the next town of Berea. And the same agitators come along and kick him out as well. But despite Paul's brevity of his visit, he has done enough to birth a Christian community. So when Silas and Timothy catch up with Paul in Corinth, he sends Timothy back to get an update, to find out how these people are getting on, how they're progressing. Are they still hearing what he's taught? And when Timothy comes back, he's really pleased and uplifted by what he's heard. So Paul writes this letter, and it's like any parent to a child. It's full of love and encouragement. And he also says that he's been holding them in his prayers, and he's pleased with their attributes. And the first one is work produced by faith. I came across this definition. A work of faith is a righteous act of God, which he carries out through us because of our faith in Jesus. When our faith rests on him, the work we produce is him working through us. In other words, some of the things we are prompted to do is because of God's Spirit within us and what God would like to see done. One only needs to think about many of the churches, many of the hospitals and schools founded in the past by Christians, by the missionary, charity and aid workers, which are still doing wonderful work now. People like the food banks and Christians Against Poverty, founded by Christians, and still with Christians really at the centre in key roles. The second attribute he gave was labour prompted by love. This is work done without any financial compensation. It's instead motivated by commitment, passion, or pleasure. Paul is talking about work done out of the love of God, for the benefit of the church and spreading the gospel. I only have to look around this room here to be aware of how much and in how many areas things are done for God. Thank you, Yvonne, for sharing that. I knew you wanted to, so I left you to do it, but that was great. But you heard how much the Open the Book team is making a difference in building relationships with the primary school. Now, my experience as a carer and things I do in church is simply not counting what one does. Don't count, just simply act out of love. If you start counting, you go down a hole, basically. Thirdly, endurance hindered by hope in Jesus. As we all know, life is not an easy, smooth journey, is it? It's up and down, and there are just a few potholes in the road. Here, endurance means getting through the trials of life without wavering or compromising, and instead by leaning on this God for strength. Paul, in his letter to Romans, wrote, "We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." And we heard in verse 5, Paul said, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but with power, with the Holy Spirit." Head knowledge will only get us so far. We never really develop and progress unless the Holy Spirit is involved. You know, it's more than maybe a touch, but ideally a continual, ongoing fill of the Spirit, which builds up our faith and trust in God, preparing us to be his ambassadors and workers. We probably all agree that parents are huge role models for their children. And Paul wrote, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us." Joy and I desired that our children would have their own lives, but we still hope that they would honour the values and characteristics seen in our lives, the outworking of our faith, and any discernible fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know I have benefited from the traits of my upbringing, and it's rewarding seeing some of those positive characteristics in our grandchildren. Paul has a similar experience. As we've heard, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God." We're all on a spiritual journey. We need to see signposts shown by the life and faith of others to inspire and challenge us. Phyllis Day was one such person to a number of us. Phil Leggett's daughter, Tracy, was blessed by Eileen Locke. How we live our lives is important and may unknowingly be really helpful to someone else. On this journey, we need heavenly food from prayer, studying the Bible, hearing sound, uplifting teaching, and the presence of fellow walkers on the road. My advice is to spend time on reflecting and acknowledging the difference our life is from having a faith, from knowing Jesus, sensing his presence, being aware of his love, allowing our love to flow to God and to others. It all builds hope and confidence of his help in any future times of trouble and the future joy of being in God's presence in the life to come. A few days ago, I was at the funeral of a very popular and well-known man who'd been my original boss and one I'd kept in touch with and did lots of things for the family. The address actually was given by James Ridge, the husband of Ruth Ridge, who used to be at the Methodist Church. And James had got to know Roy from helping out at Little Hawksley Church. And James said, "Oh, Roy had a very simple faith, not simplistic. He just believed." And he also gave some examples of other conversations they'd had at some Bible study group. And at the reception afterwards, I was standing talking to two of his former partners, and one turned to the other and said, "Roy kept his faith quiet, didn't he?" Well, that's something we should never do. People should know us for what we are. You'll have noted that this first chapter of Paul's letter addresses a recurring theme he has of faith, hope, and love. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, which is best known for it, and my prayer is that our lives demonstrate this to others so that they'll be drawn to Christ. Amen.
Let's take a moment just to be quiet and just reflect on what Andrew has said.